I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Essentially what it is it's the various defendants saying, look, you've accused us of violating the law, of specifically of violating our oath, but you haven't told us how our conduct matches up with something that we should be held criminally responsible for. And here the judge agreed. The judge said, you didn't provide enough specificity in how you pled this, and so he quashed them or dismissed these counts. It's not a dismissal of the entire case. I think, if anything, my first take is it really sort of lends itself to the argument that that the special prosecutor Wade in this case is inexperienced in these types of cases, mm-hmm. and didn't plead it properly, and as a result these counts are being dismissed.
And of course that is a former director of Department of National Intel, John Ratcliffe, talking about what's happened down in Georgia. The judge has decided, the presiding judge overseeing the case against Donald Trump and his allies, throwing out some of the charges. But as CNN is quick to point out, not all of the charges, not all of them. There are more charges still there. Well, the whole case could still go down in flames, and we'll break that down for you in a moment. But the thing to keep in mind that Ratcliffe said, I think what you're seeing here is that the reason some of these charges were being dismissed, because the prosecutor, the special prosecutor, Funny Willis hired, her lover, does not have the experience that she claimed that he had, and she gave him a lot of money for, to then turn around and take her on various vacations as kind of a bribe kickback, which is what that is. Make no mistake about it. But he did not know how to properly file the charges, and so the defense attorneys for Trump, obviously, and others are saying, this guy has no idea what he's doing. These cases should never have been brought. There's no evidence here. And the judge agreed. But I want you to keep in mind there are more cases and charges against him just in Georgia. I'll break it down for you in more detail. First of all, you should know by now that Trump and Biden are the nominees for their parties, will be officially confirmed at their conventions this summer. The Republicans in July, and of course, in August, in Chicago, the Democrats. Trump passed the 1,215 number he needed last night to get the GOP nomination. And of course, Biden certainly surpassed it. He had no opposition, really, when he got down to it. Neither did Trump, especially after Haley dropped out. Here we are, March 13, 2024, second hour, Larry Connors USA for you. We're here every Monday through Friday night for you from 6 to 8 p.m. I say at night, it's daytime now, so we're still glad to have you, you know, with this time change. I love the longer days, don't you? So maybe you want to be out and you're going to be doing something else. So therefore, let me remind you two things. One, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can see it at News Talk, STL, Rumble, Twitter, or Facebook, or you can see it at Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Twitter, or Facebook. You can use whichever platform you want. We just want to have you listening, watching, and sharing with others. And since you might have more of your hours busy in the longer days, they're all going to be posted as a podcast for you when we finish each day. They'll be found, audio and video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. It won't be hard at all for you to go back and pick something up because you had to get out of the car. I have people tell me all the time, I was just getting ready to get out of the car and you teased or you said something like, I got to stay here and hear the rest of it. And my spouse is looking at me, well, we're here, let's go. Well, I can't, I got to finish. My answer and response for you is first, thank you. Second is tell your spouse, sit there with you and listen and get it as well. Lock the doors. Don't let them out. Nah, somebody will take that the wrong way. Talking about you're holding hostages. All right, let's get back into this Georgia case. The Fulton County Judge Scott McAfee dismissing three charges against the former president. Charges including six counts in the indictment, three against Trump, and then against some of his other colleagues. Prosecutors can refile these charges, but Trump is still also charged with more than half a dozen counts, originally charged with 13. But even the Associated Press points out the ruling is a blow for Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, whose case has already been on shaky ground, with an effort to have her removed from the prosecution over her romantic relationship with a colleague. It's the first time charges in any of Trump's four criminal cases have been dismissed, with the judge saying prosecutors failed to provide enough detail about the alleged crime. Now, the key is that if they're going to try to reintroduce this, this could push the trial past November to put them all back together, if that's what they want to try to do. And then Fox also had a question of John Ratcliffe, former director of National Intel, as to how this case went down. And that thing that's still hanging in the balance, that is a judge going to allow Fannie Willis to remain on the case anyway?
We await the same judge's decision about Fannie Willis and her staying on the case. Does this decision today, what he has just put forward, give you any sort of clue as to what he's thinking on that point?
I think it certainly doesn't hurt the notion that both Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, Special Prosecutor Wade, have acted inappropriately here, and some of the things that have been alleged are proving to be true. He's an inexperienced prosecutor in these cases. That's a reflection of what the judge just ruled on. I think this is frankly an easy call in terms of disqualification of at least her and Mr. Wade from this case, if not an entire dismissal of the case.
It is, if he decides to do so, and he said he would make a decision before the end of the week. But the fallout, of course, continues over what happened yesterday as Special Counsel Hur was in front of Congress explaining his investigation of how Joe Biden handled classified documents and finding basically, well, because he would be a sympathetic old man who's going to want to put him in jail and prison for mishandling documents. Hur insisted that his decision to not charge Biden, however, did not exonerate him.
Former Special Counsel Robert Hur was in front of an often hostile House Judiciary Committee today. On the one hand, defending his decision not to charge President Biden for his handling of classified documents that ended up in his office and home. And on the other side, defending his decision to include damning details of President Biden's memory or lack thereof. Otherwise known as a no-win. Look, you can disagree with aspects of what he put in his report, but he's not a hack, he's not a patsy. He's, in my view, another public servant being maligned and torn down often by the political extremes on both sides in this country. Hur, who testified as a private citizen after resigning from the Justice Department yesterday.
Now, that is Dan Abrams with News Nation. News Nation, well, I'll tell you how they lean. Chris Cuomo is one of their anchors now, so that should tell you a lot about it. But Dan Abrams on that story played it pretty much down the center, saying that Hur's being accused of being a political hack by the opposite side, and yet he thinks he did the job he had to do. And that's Dan Abrams' assessment. But then he also got into some of the transcript. Now, you're going to hear some of the transcript being read and then some reaction to it.
Right before his testimony, we received the transcript of the hours-long interviews between Biden and the special counsel, which, yes, shows Biden fumbling dates, like saying, quote, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? And in 2009, am I still vice president? Look, what's unclear is if he was just asking aloud or if he truly didn't remember, regardless. The left, including Congressman Adam Schiff, accusing Hur of taking unnecessary shots at President Biden's memory and age.
You could have chosen just to comment on the president's particular recall vis-a-vis a document or a set of documents, but you decided to go further and make a generalized statement about his memory, didn't you?
Congressman, I could have written my report theoretically in a way that omitted references to the president's memory, but that would have been an incomplete and improper report, and that it did not reflect my analysis.
You could have written your report with comments about his specific recollection as to documents or a set of documents, but you chose a general pejorative reference to the president. You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Herr, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Adam Schiff raising those questions. I want you to hear him again before we wrap up this hour. I mean, Adam Schiff is a clown in so many ways because he's claiming that Herr was specifically pointing and putting language into his report that would be demeaning, humiliating, embarrassing to Joe Biden. Riddle me this. Riddle me this. How many times did Congressman Schiff and his colleagues and his state-controlled media that carry the water for him use similar language at will against Donald Trump on the so-called Russian collusion story, which never existed? And have they come forward and apologized and, you know, we made a mistake because that was never anything to do with Trump. It was actually created by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. Have they ever come forward and apologized? May I suggest something? If you're waiting for the apology, do not hold your breath. But they're more than glad to go on the attack against anyone that's going after their guy. I want you to hear a collage of sound bites put together by Fox News as to members of Congress questioning the special counsel. And again, it will include Schiff because he is that Schiffless guy.
The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yes, it's a lie.
So that the likely outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that the term willful retention has a... Mr. Herr, it's my time.
All I have to do when I'm caught taking home classified materials to say, I'm sorry, Mr. Herbert, but I'm getting old. My memory's not so great.
Yeah, Congressman,
this is the doctrine that you've established in our laws now, and it's frightening.
You cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm.
What you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation of the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you did.
That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
That did not happen? That's what Herr is saying, and you can look at it if you want, but I want to remind you, go back to the date, the night that they came out, and Joe Biden rushed out for an impromptu news conference. And again, I don't know if it was his idea or his staff thinking, look, we've got to win here. Herr is not charging you with abusing classified documents. Let's run out and run a victory parade and run around a few times, let everybody see I'm still standing, and I didn't do anything wrong with my classified documents. First of all, Joe Biden, those documents were from him being a vice president, and he does not have authority to declassify anything as vice president. And also, many of those same classified documents were from his time as a U.S. senator. So again, he has no authority to declassify, and he was showing them to a biographer. But they want you to believe that the only one who is guilty of something right now would be Donald Trump. Which brings us to Sean Duffy, who is a former prosecutor, and his evaluation.
This is a flim-flam argument by Robert Herr to say, you know what, Joe Biden is forgetful, he's affable, and therefore he can't win a conviction. Prosecutors go, you know what, one president was charged, let's look at charging this one just on the basis of equality of how the law works, and I'll let a jury decide. We do that all the time. Present your case, Robert Herr, and if the jury acquits him, so be it. But if they convict him, that's what prosecutors do, and I have faith in Robert Herr. But the fact that you have all of this evidence, Joe Biden knew the evidence was there. He knew he had classified documents. He didn't call up the archives and say, listen, I've got these classified documents, I want to turn them over. He actually used them to write his book, and then he kept them. This is an egregious crime that if we're going to prosecute former presidents, both Trump and Biden have to be treated similarly.
Yeah, they should be treated similarly. The cases are that similar. Why is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. One is Trump and one is Biden. Now, again, you listen to Sean Duffy, a former prosecutor, saying just your job, Robert Herr, was to go ahead and present the evidence to a jury. Let them make the decision. Maybe you think they would not convict him. Maybe he is, as you put in your report, basically a feeble old man who would get sympathy. But let the jury see, or the judge, and then they make the determination. That way you can say, here's my report. I wash my hands of it as I present it to the jury, the court. But Herr took it upon himself to make the decision that, well, there's no value to doing it. No one would prosecute him. A senile old man, which is the one thing the Democrats got upset over. They loved the fact that they were not finding him guilty of mishandling classified documents, because they still insist that Donald Trump did. And yet his Trumps were in a sealed vault in Mar-a-Lago. Biden's were scattered all over the place. They were at Biden Penn Center. They were in his garage next to his Corvette. Many of them were open, not secured, at his house on Rehoboth Beach or whatever it is, all over the place. He had no idea because his staff put them in there, and he blames his staff, saying, I should have taken a better look at them. But again, from the Democrat perspective, Biden shouldn't also be called almost senile. You could leave that part out. Jason Chaffetz, former Utah congressman on Fox News, raises a very good question.
It begs the question, are we ever going to prosecute somebody? Like, what would be that? What would you have to do in order to prosecute somebody? And by the way, Larry, there is not a single fact pattern in any way, shape, or form that a member of Congress, House or Senate, has classified information. You have to steal it in order to do it. And he did this over the course of decades. It wasn't like he accidentally, hey, some staffer stuffed it in a box.
In two jobs.
Yeah.
Senator, you're not allowed to hit, and vice president. There's only one person that can take stuff out.
Yeah, it's president.
That's correct.
That's right.
The
president.
That.
Yes.
I'm not a lawyer.
The senator, that's what drives me nuts here, is because they have to establish a standard. But right now the standard is, hey, if you're a Democrat, you're going to get away with it. But if you're Donald Trump or a Republican, yeah, we might prosecute.
Yeah, we might prosecute. And we will, in fact, prosecute. What do you need to see that doesn't show this double standard? It's in your face continuously. And they're blatant about it. The Democrats have to recognize, yeah, we're treating this differently because it's our guy. Some will say, well, Republicans are treating theirs differently because it's their guy. All we're asking for is justice. Let me put it to you this way, and some of you are going to hate me for saying this. If Donald Trump is guilty of any of the crimes he's charged with, criminal charges, if he's guilty, and you can prove it, obviously, then he should serve the time and everything else. He should not be on the ticket for president, period. But they haven't done that. They continue to throw around smear and slur campaigns like they're accusing her doing, reference Biden. All right, coming up, got a lot coming forward. You think our illegal issue is over? No. In fact, it's getting ready to escalate, and that might actually fall under the true asylum rules. And also, what about an audit of the Fed? And then on top of that, TikTok. You a fan? It could be going. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question. Do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid, I'm a dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid, I'm a dog. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I was the DNI that did the national security threat assessment on TikTok for the CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., back in the summer of 2020. It was my recommendation that was the basis of President Trump's executive order at that time, based on our assessment that, number one, that the parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, was controlled by the CCP, and two, that the algorithms used and the information collected did pose a significant national security threat. President Biden rescinded that order, as you know, after there was a legal challenge to it. But, you know, I completely supported Congressman Gallagher's bill here. I do think that TikTok has proven over the last few years that it's even more of a national security threat than when we assessed in 2020. And so I think this is a very good development. I certainly hope that the resounding bipartisan margins here will spur Senator Schumer to allow a vote on this over in the Senate. Well, this would be good for our national security posture.
I would hope Schumer would do that, but I wouldn't be so sure. The House moved quickly today once it was put in front of them, and the House passed legislation that could ban TikTok unless they out parts ways with the Chinese parent company, which is not likely to happen, ByteDance. And again, they have something like 170 million Americans on TikTok. Someone had pointed out the other day, and I wish I could recall the source right away, but I've seen it in numerous places. Maybe you have as well. The TikTok that your kids are exposed to here and in the U.S. and that you see is not the same TikTok they run in China. They use it there for propaganda on a continuous basis. And you don't see any funny things about cats or kids doing dances or whatever you might have an interest in for that moment while streaming, looking around. It's pure propaganda. Maybe if they have cats, they're sparking and speaking Chinese communist propaganda. I don't know. But the House passed the legislation that would ban TikTok if it's not broken away from ByteDance. The vote, 352-65. That's a bipartisan vote and a very powerful vote to say no TikTok under the current standards. Now it goes to the Senate. And as Paul Gallant, a policy analyst at the national research group firm Cohen, said, the Senate does not move quickly. No, they don't. He said the longer it takes, the more time for TikTok and its allies to win over senators. Now, when you were listening then to John Ratcliffe, the former director of National Intel, saying, I wrote and told the senators how bad this was, and it's gotten worse since then, you think that would have any bearing on the senators? You would think so with everything going around. Senator Marco Rubio's made it very clear that he will support a ban of any type because he calls it a Trojan horse inside our nation. And, of course, then you got the 2024 election looming. That could make it difficult to pass legislation. Even Wisconsin Republican Mike Gallagher, one of the architects of the bill, acknowledged that to reporters. Even so, the analyst at the market research group, Poen, said, we continue to see passage of a TikTok ban bill in 2024 as more likely happening than not. That would set the stage for a 1 to 2 year court fight on First Amendment grounds. In other words, even if Chuck Schumer got his Senate together and got enough to agree to ban it today, it probably would be fought out in the courts because TikTok is not going to let go that easily locally, and of course neither are the Chinese. There's a self-described Gen Z historian, Cahill Green, who has TikTok videos on black history and reaching something like 640,000 followers generally, and saying that the House vote carries echoes of some of the darkest times in our nation's past. Green said it's very icky territory, censoring under the threat of national security, which has oftentimes been the only way you can censor and then, like, really take away American freedoms, whether it be the Patriot Act or the Red Scare. It's the idea that communist entities and foreign entities are taking over. That's not an illegitimate argument. The McCarthy era, the Red Scare he's talking about, people got censored, silenced. Free speech got chilled in many cases on just allegations and slander and slur. And we all have had some issues with the Patriot Act. In the beginning, following 9/11, it was, yes, we need to do everything to make sure this doesn't happen again. But then we see how the FISA warrants were used against Donald Trump, basically lying to get a FISA warrant from a judge so they could carry out wiretapping. That is all part of the Patriot Act. So there are legitimate concerns and reasons as to why, when you go to ban it or you start to restructure it, you need to be careful still about First Amendment rights. But a foreign entity holding it in our nation, to me, that's the linchpin right there. That's the pin on the grenade you pull and everything blows up. Because you don't want Communist Chinese Party holding that kind of control over Americans simply because 170 million Americans are on their product. Well, of course, now we had President Biden offering his $7.3 trillion blueprint, his budget, $7.3 trillion. How are they going to pay for it? Well, they'll figure it out. Believe me, it won't hurt you. Right. Well, earlier, Senator Rand Paul had said, if you like your inflation now, you're going to love it better. And he said, you know, there's another reason right there that we need to start taking a look at, not just the federal deficit, but the Fed itself, the Federal Reserve, Senator Rand Paul.
You would think transparency would be an easy vote. We had the vote a few months ago, and we got every Republican except for about three, and I think we got one or two Democrats. I'm still hoping for the day when Democrats begin to believe in transparency again. We did get Democrats on this royalty bill for Big Pharma. I'd like to get them on a transparency bill for the Fed as well. You know, the Fed asset sheet has grown to, what, over $8, $9 trillion now? And I always think it's funny to call it an asset sheet because what they own is debt, and they own the debt by printing up the money. It didn't come from real money. They bought
bought debt with created money. But we should know who owns it and what do they own. Because, like, you know, if somebody's brother-in-law has a bank that's going bankrupt and the Fed bails that out and they don't bail out somebody else's bank, shouldn't we know all the details of every bank that's being bought, that's being bailed out or not bailed out? And during the last crisis, some banks got bailed out and some didn't. And it seemed to be somewhat arbitrary. But at the very least, we ought to know what the Federal Reserve owns, what they're buying. It doesn't have to be in real time. It can be a look back. You know, you're looking back in time, so it wouldn't affect the marketplace. But I think knowing that people are looking at your books chastens people and makes them behave in a better way.
It does each and every time, be it a company, an individual. You know the IRS is double-checking your returns, which they always are, and looking for the smallest mistake you made. You're going to be as careful as you can be. If you're a major company, you're going to be very careful on IRS returns or anything else you have to report to the government. Why shouldn't we have transparency involving the Federal Reserve and how decisions are made to, as Senator Rand Paul points out, which bank to bail out for how much and why? The Silicon Valley deal? Oh, it's all Silicon Valley. It's all these liberal banks, and most of them built upon imaginative something yet to come. We don't have a product yet, but we're going to build it, and it's going to be amazing. All right, well, then these banks would loan multi-millions of dollars and then realize there's not going to be a product. They don't have it. So we put money out. Now we're at a loss at the bank. How do we make it up? Pretty soon, the bank is slipping under the water. Got to prop it back up. Now, we still have the belief that too big to fail is a reason to support everything. If you adopt that philosophy that a company, a bank, an entity is too big to fail, and you're going to protect it and hold it up, you may help people that are employed by that company or entity, but overall, you are hurting common Americans that don't have a slice or piece of that or a job tied to it. Every time they mention too big to fail, you should ask, well, what happens if it does fail? What is a ripple effect? Now, you go back to the 80s when we had everything upside down, and this is in part because we had an administration being basically pushing everybody should be able to have a home. Everybody should. You got a Fannie Mae, you got to give people an opportunity to buy a home, even if they don't have the income or they don't have a permanent job. They've got to have the right. Well, somebody's going to have to take that on the chin when they begin to default on mortgages. And there were defaults all over the nation. And, of course, then that reflects back upon the bank, the lending institutions. So somebody had to bail them out to keep them afloat. We were, according to some documentaries, at an extreme crisis in our nation. Of our own making. We were basically playing Russian roulette with every chamber loaded. You don't get a second chance, my friend. But someone decided, well, let's take one bullet out and try that one chamber. Because we want to save them and maybe our country at that point. It's a very deep subject. We'll, at a future date, try to dig into it even more. But if you lived through it, you know. Maybe you got caught in the midst of it. Maybe you had a house. You were doing well. You had the money. You were earning money. You were willing to make your mortgage, able to make it, wanting to. But two doors down, a house is foreclosed on because they can't. Another one in the block is foreclosed. Now the value of your house has dropped. And yet you're still having to pay like it was priced where it was. And then suddenly your company is having problems because some of their employers and employees and suppliers are suffering. And then you're laid off. It does have a domino effect. So too big to fail is not totally out of the question. Coming up, asylum is one reason for immigration. Get ready for more to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beall for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beall because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beall roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beall, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Herr, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Congressman, politics played no part whatsoever in my investigative steps.
But you understood decision, nevertheless,
the words
didn't
that
you,
I
Mr.
Put
Herr?
In my report.
Mr. Herr, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that, didn't you, when you wrote those words, when you decided to include those words, when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents? You understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle and by President Trump. You understood that, did you not?
Congressman, what I understood is the regulations that govern my conduct as special counsel.
And those regulations
me to write a confidential report for the Attorney General,
which you knew would not be confidential.
Explaining my decision, and that
which
is what
knew.
I did, Congressman.
Mr.
I followed the rules.
You knew it would not be confidential.
And I followed them.
You knew it would not be confidential, didn't you?
Sir, the regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General,
which you knew would be released.
It was up to the Attorney General to determine
you understood
what
it would be released.
The report
did you
would
not?
Be released consistent with DOJ policy.
You understood it would be released. You understood it would be released.
I understood from the Attorney General's public comments that he would make as much of my report public as he could consistent with legal requirements.
There you have it. Adam Schiff questioning Robert Herr, the special counsel, yesterday. The term that comes to mind for me is ironic. Ironic because, again, this is how Joe Biden handled classified documents. And, of course, one of those who is so upset with Herr's remarks in his report that we're not going to prosecute because, basically, we consider this would just be a sympathetic old man, senile, can't remember things, so there's no sense moving forward. And I say ironic because there you hear Adam Schiff, California congressman, a man who knows how to communicate or deceive because he did it repeatedly with Trump. And yes, we played it earlier, and I'm probably going to play it again someday, not too far in the future, just because it just re-impresses, re-imprints how this leftist progressive attitude is at all costs do whatever you can to destroy conservatives, independents, or even Democrats that dare stray from the straight and narrow path laid out for them. Well, it may already be having some effect, but not to the way that they think it is. But I do want to share with you something here. This is a look that deals with this piece is written by an opinion writer at The Hill. And talking about for Donald Trump last week must have seemed like a final crowning victory. Friday, the Republican National Committee made official what Trump had already decreed. His daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, is now a party co-chair, along with party chair Michael Whatley, both getting Trump's endorsement. And they're saying that now Trump's MAGA ideology can claim the House leadership, former control of the RNC. But then it adds, but even at the pinnacle of its institutional power, the MAGA movement is already buckling at the joints. Here's the way they point it out in The Hill, and again, this is an opinion piece written by Max Burns. He said, Trump's GOP is a paradox. The former president now enjoys an unprecedented level of control over the Republican national apparatus. He can freely raid the RNC's dwindling campaign coffers for legal defense money and appoint family members to key positions while personally directing House Republicans' disastrous investigations into Joe and Hunter Biden. Trump's total dominance of the Republican Party is a remarkable thing to behold. But here's where the but comes. There's always a but. Here it is. Here's your but. But Republicans' willingness to bow to Trump on nearly every issue is making their party staggeringly unpopular with voters, not just the rank and file. Again, this column written for The Hill adds, Colorado Congressman Ken Buck stunned Capitol Hill Tuesday, announcing he'd simply had enough of Trumpism and would resign in just about a week. In an interview with CNN, Buck slammed Congress as dysfunctional and remarked that many of my constituents are sick of Trump. Well, that is Congressman Buck's attitude, right? But that's just enough. That's just a thread of a line and a sentence that the Hill columnist writer can pick up on and work to their benefit. And now we got surfacing word in the Hill and elsewhere, Liz Cheney fueling speculation that maybe she's still going to come into the battle somewhere to help Joe Biden. In what way? All of this in mind brings me to polling trends that the dynamics of American politics are under realignment. They're taking the 1960s polling trends and they're basically being turned upside down. This piece points out this realignment creates a massive issue for Joe Biden and congressional Democrats who count on black, Latino, and blue-collar votes to win elections. Democrat inroads with black, Latinos, Asian voters determined right now to be at the lowest point in 60 years, according to Gallup and Siena College surveys. And in turn, Hispanic and black men could vote for Trump in proportions not seen in American politics since the 1990s. And, of course, don't forget the Democrats are counting on more of the illegals coming in. Now, they can't vote so far, but in some sanctuary cities and states and counties, they give them a driver's license, and they use that as an ID to go vote and vote illegally till somebody stops them. Which brings us to the issue about immigration and coming into the country. Let me change subjects here for you, and let's jump into the issue of asylum.
Welcome back. President Biden's border policy is now facing criticism from his own party. 14 House Democrats joining a GOP-led resolution which condemns Biden's immigration policies. The resolution says Biden, quote, has purposefully violated U.S. immigration law. Yesterday, Biden said he does not plan on taking any executive action.
not taking any executive action. Now, the other day, he suggested right after his State of the Union speech that he might consider executive action. Why would he even consider when he said repeatedly, I can't do anything, Congress has to do it? Well, he's back to using that refrain. And we're talking about illegals coming into the country because of the open border policy. We allow a million plus immigrants into our country every year as part of natural immigration policies. And of course, then for asylum, remember we brought jet loads from Afghanistan, Afghans who would have been butchered at the hands of the Taliban. We brought them here for sanctuary because they helped our troops while we were in Afghanistan, but we didn't properly vet them, so we don't really know how many we brought in that deserve asylum and sanctuary. That may still come back to haunt us. The rules on asylum, there are five criteria, basically. You have to demonstrate you were persecuted or have a fear of persecution in your home country due to your race, religion, nationally, social group, political opinion. And you don't have to choose any particular one or saying that because I might be singled out because of that. You simply say, this is what's happening in my country. Well, we have the same thing right now. Reference Gaza. Palestinians. If they could get here, they could claim asylum under asylum rules, and they might actually be true victims, or they might be embedded Hamas terrorists. But that's going to have to be, again, adjudicated. But it's like these coming across the open border now. They're coming in, and they're just being given a parole pass and a report for a court date 6, maybe 8 years down the road. Then we'll decide if you can stay. And back in 2022, May 31st, my birthday. You don't have to send me anything. I'm just telling you. Yeah, this May 31, I'll be, let me see, quick math, 55, I think. I never was good at ciphering. Give me a break. Anyway, the interim final rule, procedures for credible fear screening and consideration of asylum, withholding of removal, and cat protection claims by asylum officers, blah, 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 basically went into effect May 31, 2022, which charged the way DHS processes asylum cases for individuals in expedited removal. So they have something in place for expediting removal of those who are not really asylum seekers, but we're not doing it because we're just letting them in if they claim asylum. They've been coached well. When you get there, you say, asylum, asylum, asylum. And yet when they're talking to reporters, they say, I'm here to get a job. Well, that's good. I understand that. And if we're going to set up a program where illegals are going to come in, we set up a green card program again, and we bring them in for a period of time to do that, and then they must leave. And if they don't, then they are arrested and deported. But we're already way behind the barrel on that when you get down to it. But here comes another group that you're going to have a hard time denying them asylum. If you thought this immigration under Joe Biden was over, it's getting ready to ramp up. How do I know that? Well, I'm very good. I do a lot of study. I know this stuff. You should see my book collection. I have a fabulous book collection. That sounds something like from the Anchorman. Oh, yeah, it does. Never mind. Here's the situation. Haiti. Biden's pro-migration administration is now preparing for a huge exodus from Haiti. As you know, last week we began getting Americans out of Haiti, closing down our embassy, except for essential personnel, now maybe all of them, because it's turned into just a crime gang war everywhere. And a senior Pentagon official responsible for Homeland Defense told the House Armed Services Committee just yesterday the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people to become migrants. And she adds, she told Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, we've recently approved some additional assistance we can provide to the Coast Guard. And then the general commander of the U.S. Southern Command, which is responsible for conducting Homeland Defense, said, I think we need to be postured appropriately for that. I have put in a request for increased capability to do exactly that. We're ready to deal with a mass migration. The New York Post printed an email leaked from border agents in Miami, warning already that federal officials may not try to return migrants who sail into U.S. coastal waters on small sail-powered freighters. The Coast Guard may not be stopping Haitians sailing these freighters. They'll simply escort them into U.S. port. That's because of the breakdown in the government in Haiti. Now, again, there are those in Haiti, they truly need asylum. They're going to be butchered and slaughtered under the regime or lack of a regime they currently have, run basically by thugs, gangs. But here's the issue. How many of those Haitian gang members will also be aboard some of those freighters coming into our country, claiming asylum? We know they're escaping a region that obviously is dangerous for them to stay. And they're not stopping at another country before they come here if they sail direct from Haiti to the U.S. So you can't claim, well, you had an opportunity, you were free of your country, you could have stayed in that country. Well, they're at sea. You can't stay at sea forever. They don't have to come to us, but you know they are. You know they are. So you look at the illegals we already have in the country, and now you're going to see an increase of Haitians. And again, many might be people that are in fear for their lives. They're not parts of the gang or anything else, but how many are? We have no way of knowing. There is no way to vet and check and verify. We know they're escaping a condition that is horrid and threatening to them, just as if a Palestinian wants to get out of Gaza and come to the States and make a claim for asylum. But at what point do you say, we got to be more careful who we're letting in? Let's begin by shutting down the border. Executive order, Joe Biden, shut the border, deal with true asylum seekers coming from Haiti, but then make sure you vet those coming in. And I don't mean just, are you a gang member? No, man. Come on. You can't do it that way. I want to go back briefly on the TikTok vote that took place today. And as I told you, the House passed legislation that would ban TikTok in the States unless it parts ways with its Chinese communist parent company, ByteDance. I told you then that 352 members of the House voted to ban it. 65 did not. They voted to keep it or not ban it or look for some other option. Well, therein lies another story. You've got AOC, a liberal as she is, basically united with Marjorie Taylor Greene to basically deal with TikTok. And then you also have some House Republicans breaking with Trump regarding TikTok. The former president had originally said, yeah, it is a threat, we should do something about it, but then lately did a flip-flop. According to Steve Bannon, as quoted in Newsweek over the weekend, well, Trump did it because he got bought and paid for by ByteDance or China. That's what Steve Bannon is trying to sell. And there'll be a lot who will gobble that up. Trump has said, I'm afraid if we ban TikTok, Facebook will become bigger, and it's a bigger threat to our nation. All I do know is that House Republicans, some of them have broken with Trump over TikTok. He didn't want to see it banned, but many Republicans went ahead and said, yep, we're going to ban it. Well, this is just the beginning. Senate still has to do its work. We'll keep you posted. And as always, I appreciate you listening. Let your friends and family know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.